We're going to go ahead and get started, if we could, and thanks for coming. My name is Rory Whitney here. I pastor a church here in Omaha, and God bless you. Thanks for coming. Ebed, the life of a slave. That's why you're here. It sounds exciting, huh? You know, about a year ago, I was in Denver, and I heard my son-in-law. He was introducing a series. Their church was going to work through the book of Mark. And in passing, he used this word, Ebed. And his teaching wasn't in regards to that, but that word just got my attention, and I started thinking about it and came home a couple weeks later and shared a message on this. And so I just thought I would go ahead and maybe share it with you. If you have a Bible, my PowerPoint's not working, so if you have Bibles, I pray you pull them out. We're going to run through the scripture a little bit here. I can guarantee I'm not going to keep you for an hour and 15 minutes. I don't have that much to say. But in Exodus chapter 21, verses 5 through 6, if you could turn to it. Exodus chapter 21, that's in the Old Testament, verses 5 and 6. It says this, "But the slave may declare." This is what really gripped my heart about an Ebed. "But the slave may declare, I love my master and my wife and my children. I don't want to go free. If he does this, his master must present him before God. And then his master must take him to the door or doorpost and publicly pierce his ear with an awl. And after that, the slave will serve his master for life." What a heart, huh? This slave, it's a Hebrew word, Ebed, and it's just, you know, if you were to write it out, it's just a small E-B-E-D with a hypostrophe at the front. That's the word, Ebed. It's a little word that probably has as much significance in the life of a Christian as any word in the scripture. This little word. It means slave. It means here's a slave. Here's a slave who's offered freedom, and he chooses to stay with his master. Here's a slave who's offered freedom, and he chooses to be physically marked for the rest of his life. And when someone saw that man walking, they would know that he is a slave, that he voluntarily surrendered his freedom to his master. Man, I just started thinking about that word. I started thinking about this guy. I started thinking about my life. And I started asking myself the questions that I'm going to ask you. And actually, when I was asking the questions, it revealed the darkness of my own heart. It revealed the selfishness of my own life. But I've always loved this poem. It's the only poem I ever quote, because it's the only one I understand. Unless it's given by a small child, then I can understand those. But this one, for me, is really a point in my life I remember. And I pray that God would help us as men and women of the King to voluntarily surrender our rights, to voluntarily to be marked by the Savior, to be branded, to be forever identified and indentured to our King. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood. And looked down one as far as I could. To where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other just as fair. Having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. As for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. We'll jump to the last stanza. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Young men and women, I want to encourage you. You've been given the invitation of a lifetime. You've been given an opportunity. In this life, the air you breathe in this country to serve the King. You've been given an opportunity. You all, I know, I see it. I'm with young people a lot, but we're all at this point in our life where we come to this woods and we come to these paths and we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. Which road will you travel? And this Ebed that just gripped my heart, he was at that crossroads in his life and he made a choice. He gave up his freedom. You want to be a servant of the King? You want to make a mark in this world? Brothers and sisters, you've got to lose your rights. You've got to give it over. It's not about your dreams. It's not about your happiness. It's not about you. It's about Him. And I shall be telling this with a sigh. Sisters, don't go all the way through your life and then come back at the other end and you think back about that time that you could have made a choice and traveled the road less traveled by. That's where the beauty is. That's where the riches are. That's where the purpose is. And traveling that life, that sometimes lonely life just with our King, marked by the maul and the tool and the instrument of your Savior. What a glory God has given us on this side of the earth. On this side of death, I mean. What a glory. What an opportunity. May we all be Ebeds for our King. May we all voluntarily serve Him. I'm in the company of heroes. I look around here and I see your lives. I know who you serve. There is an opportunity, I'm sure, that we could all stand here at the doorpost and let the Lord do that to us. Oswald Chambers, I read him a lot. You know, there's a time, I remember a long, long time ago, I was given my utmost for his highest, and I just put it in the library, you know. I just never even read it. I just didn't. About 3-4 years ago, I picked it up. I hope that you have someone. Faith Walkers is really good. I love the devotions. I love what Steve McEnroy said this morning about falling in love with our King. But I appreciate what Mr. Chambers said a year ago when I was doing this teaching, and it's going to be coming up again because I just read it daily. It's his devotional, but an Ebed, if I'm an Ebed, then my life is one of service. It's one of servitude. It's one of giving up my rights. But Mr. Chambers said this, service is the overflow which pours from a life filled with love and devotion. I've said it so many times when I teach. I'm telling you, young men and women, I'm telling you, old men and women, if you don't fall in love with your King, you ain't going to serve Him. If He isn't the greatest affection of your heart, you will not want to serve Him. But I love what he said. Service is the overflow which pours from a life filled with love and devotion. Mr. Chambers said, this service is what I bring to my King. What else do we have? Service to God is the deliberate love gift I offer Him. Service is an expression of my new nature. Rick Warren, and he's probably now almost outsold, Pilgrim's Progress. purpose-driven life, we all know the chapter that begins, the first chapter, and his first sentence is, what? It's not about you. It's not about you, men and women. You know, I think about even sitting up here thinking about teaching or sharing what's on my heart, you know, and, you know, where do my thoughts go? My thoughts go to me. What a selfish man I am. What an egotistical man I am. What a prideful man I am. My thoughts go to me. And the Lord just kind of wakes me up a little bit right here. Says, wait a minute, Roar, what about me? Oh, yeah, that's right, God. It's not about me. It's not about my comfort. If I'm an Ebed, you know, I'm a slave. I'm indentured to him. I give up my freedoms. I give up my life. You know the cool thing about this dude, this in Exodus, this Ebed? Wow. What a master he had. What a master. That he would say, I can't leave you. Man, what an affection, what a relationship, what a love with a man. And yet we have the King. We have God Almighty. No greater love has anyone than he that lays down his life for the other. God in his goodness. When we realize this, that it's not about us, then we will begin, we'll just start to begin to understand the Ebed's heart. I'd like to share with you just three thoughts concerning the Ebed. I'd like to pray here real quickly, if we could. Ask the Lord to bless our time. Well, Father, I do thank you for what you've been teaching me about the life of an Ebed. I thank you, Lord, for the heart of the men and women that are here. I pray, God, that you would speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us. I pray, Lord, that we would give you our attention right now for these next few moments. I pray, Lord, that you would just have your way with us. God, that you'd open up the Word, you'd open up the Scripture, you would take these simple thoughts. And God, that you would just help us, Lord, to realize what you're speaking to us about. Even as I was going over these notes, I was thinking about things that I need to even examine again in my own life. Help us all, Lord, to look to you, to entrust to you our time, to give these next moments to you, Lord, asking you to do a work in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll give you 3 points and with some sub-points underneath it. Sorry that the PowerPoint doesn't work, but we can go old school here. We can grab Bibles and iPhones. We can look up the Scripture. We can write, can't we? We can do it. We can really do it. Just like an old-time revival. It's just like the end times, you know, and we're going to have to be around candlelights and reading and, you know. Because if you turn on your iPhone, there's going to be a signal comes to you and the Gestapo are going to get us. Who knows? This whole world may change. I'm not here to speak about that. But even if it did, brothers and sisters, even if it did, the Lord says that he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's always with us. He lives within us. He has a plan for us. God loves us. Man, I'm telling you, let's put a smile on our face, every one of us here. Real quick. Come on, let me see them white pearlies. Let's go. Come on. Come on. There. Yeah. Right, your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's your brother. He's your king. He's your savior and he's your friend. He lives within you. He's around you. He protects you. What a life. We are the most privileged people on the face of this earth. to have responded. To his pleading for your life, you yielded, you surrendered, you gave it to him. And now I want to challenge you. Every day, you put on the mantle of an Eben. You lose your rights. Give it up. He calls you to this land, you go to this land. He calls you into this relationship, you go. God loves you. I loved what Brother Brown was sharing, what Tom was sharing. About our pains and embracing our pains and experiencing our pains and not fighting through the pains. An Ebed. Number one. You write this down. It reveals our heart. The life of an Ebed. It reveals our heart. If you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 6. You know the nice thing about not PowerPoint and all that kind of stuff? Having to turn your Bible? Gives pastors a little time to think. Don't have to just stay on track here. Right, Terry? Praise the Lord. The life of an Ebed, it reveals our heart. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. If I was bought, then I am a This world teaches us about independence and your rights. Everything in this world, every message in this world teaches us about our rights. I have rights as an American. I have rights as a man. I have rights in this country. I want to say to you, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you. And you, whether or not you consciously choose it, you are His. He owns you completely. He owns your past, He owns your present, and He owns your future. You are His. You are His. A slave. This is what the word slave means. Not even Ebed, but the word slave means it's a person bound in servitude. A person bound in servitude. One who has lost his liberty and has no rights. I would say, brothers and sisters, probably American Christianity, the biggest struggle we have is in one of these areas right here. One who has lost his liberty and has no rights. Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28. Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is our example to the life of an Ebed. He's my example. Jesus, the day before, the night before he was crucified, takes the robe off of his body and is wrapped in a towel and reaches up to the dirty feet of his disciples. And the King of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one who created the foot that he was washing, knelt before those disciples as an Ebed, the lowest of servitude. And the Hebrew culture was the man who sat at the doorway to the home, and as the guests came, he washed their feet. Can you imagine that story? You know how many people passed by the foot washer in this world? How many people pass by the lowest people? Look always in every situation, every circumstance of your life, look for the foot washer. Imitate them. And you will be walking in the footsteps of your Savior. Her pushing that car, who just, that person. God help me. The pride in my heart, the wickedness in my heart, the judgment in my heart, the arrogance in my heart. I'm better in my heart. There is no one better. There is only one King. It reveals our heart, you see. This is what the Lord does to me. See, it reveals my heart. So whenever I have an opportunity to share, I just get to share all the things that God reveals to me about how broken I am. But Jesus, he's my example. True servanthood. Another thing, even like with revealing the heart, I think when I have the heart of an Ebed, I mean, I really have that heart. I'm a servant. I'm a slave. It loses this concept of measuring how much I'm serving. Oh, I've done enough. Really? Really? Oh, you ought to see my schedule, Rory. You wouldn't believe how many things I have, how many meetings I go to, and how many times I have to be in this situation. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on. And you know the only thing I hear about that? Whenever I hear these discussions, you know the only thing I'm really hearing? It's about me. It's about me. It's not about others. It's about me. True servanthood loses the concept. And that whole idea, that whole mentality of how much am I serving. How many of you read biographies? Good, got a few. I saw some Omaha people there not raise their hands. I'm just going to say it again. I would encourage you to read some biographies. I think of some of the heroes of my faith and how they served. And I'm sure some of those stories get a little bigger. You know, like I remember hearing one story, I think it was Jonathan, maybe not Edwards. Yeah, something like that. By his bed in the wood, by his bed, you know, his knees had worn holes down through the flooring. Well, maybe. But the point is that the brother must have been a prayer warrior. Some of these men I read about, you know, they preach 5-6 times a day on the circus. They'd ride 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. They'd ride 20,000 miles a year on a horseback. That one brother, I think it was one of the Wesleyans, you know, they ended up doing, I don't know, 280-some thousand miles on a horseback. preaching and preaching and sharing and living. And I think of reading the story of Amy Carmichael over in India. And I think of the life of all these saints and all these people that had just sacrificially give their life. How many times do we kind of come to the point where we go, I've given enough? I've given enough. Life of an Ebed gives up his or her rights. Deuteronomy 15:16. You can look this up later, but you can write it down. But suppose your servant says, I will not leave you because he loves you and your family, and he has done well with you. The Ebed says, I will not leave you because I love you. There's an emotion in this relationship with God. I said it a couple years ago, and I've said it for a long time, but I do pray this simple prayer, Lord, help me to love you more today than I did yesterday. I am in a love affair with my Savior. I love him more than I do my wife. I'm having an affair with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I ask him every day, Lord, help me to love you more today than I did yesterday. Help me, Lord, to love you with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. I cannot serve unless I'm in love with him. You can't serve your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't serve your leaders. You can't serve your church. You can't serve this world unless you're filled up with God's love. And the Ebed knew that. He loved his master. Do you love him? Do you love him? You can go through all the seminars you want to today. You can go to all the teachings today. But I'm telling you, if your heart isn't warmed with God, and if you're not falling more in love with him today, this is a wasted conference for you. It's a waste. If you're just going through the motion, hey, it's going to be a long couple days. Maybe we need to start at the beginning and say, Lord, break up this hard heart. Lord, help me with my heart. But this Ebed, he loved his king. He loved his master. So what do you say to your master? What do you say to him right now? I pray that you say, I love you, Lord. I want to be your Ebed. Number two, the life of an Ebed, it results in action. There is some type of action that happens. This man's public disfigurement indicated that he had voluntarily indentured himself to his master for life, never, never, never to be free. Never. This was a one-time transaction. You got two choices, two roads diverge. Freedom, bondage. And he had a choice. And as soon as they drove the awl through his ear against the doorpost, and you know, it isn't like going down and getting your ear pierced. This was a mangled mess. Do you think they, okay, here we go, little prick. I mean, it wasn't like that, you know. I mean, it's so, you know, we're just thinking like getting piercings and, oh, just such a, you know, little experience. No, I mean, you know, these are cruel tools. Okay, come here, brother.
Really, you want to stay with us? You want to stay with me? Well, I don't have a really good awl here. Okay, I'll try not to destroy your ear, but brother, here we go. Boom. It was a mangled mess. To be forever marked.
Everybody who ever saw him would say, he's a slave. He's a slave. We can all get tattoos, can't we? We can all have crosses hanging around our neck, can't we? We can all wear bracelets, can't we? We can all have, I don't know, what else you do. We can all have that stuff, can't we? It means nothing. Doesn't mean a thing. That doesn't identify you. identify you. The life of an Ebed, it results in some type of action. He chose to stay. He chose to surrender. He chose to submit. What a picture. What a picture of a servant's heart. John 13. Write that down. Look it up later. I'll just read it to you. But John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Before this Passover celebration, we just talked about this. Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, and he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. A good question to ask ourselves, Lord, if it results in action, a good question to ask yourself, brothers and sisters, is this: is there anything too difficult that you are asking for me to do, God? Is there anything too difficult? A year ago, we had an opportunity to have my brother-in-law in our house as he was dying from cancer. We took care of him the last 9-10 months of his life. And I watched my wife serve him for 10 months. Or nine. 9 or 10. Seemed like only a day. And I kept thinking through things like, Lord, what would you ask me to do with Mark? Are there things you're going to ask me to do that I've never been able to do before? God, I don't know. I just don't know. Lord, I just don't know. Really, what is it you're going to ask me to do? Watching this man die of cancer for 8 to 10 months, that wasn't the difficult thing. You know what the difficult thing was? Facing my fears. Facing the things that I could not do in my mind. Oh, I can't do that for a human. How could I do that? You know, and you can take your mind anywhere you want to when it comes to taking care of a dying man in your house, in a bedroom right next to you. You can imagine anything you want to. And that's what I imagined. And that's what I thought about. And I watched his life just deteriorate. And as I watched his life deteriorate, I also had to walk through doorways in my own heart. And I kept thinking about being an Ebed. Are you at some point in your life where you say, God, I can't do that? Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. And God helped me from my own personal doorways. He took my wife through other ways. But for me, I came out on the other end of that, and I thought to myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. An Ebed. Out of gratitude and appreciation and love for our Master, you need to say to him, here am I, Lord. Here am I. And the third point, the life of an Ebed. It restores the soul. See, I got all R's, you know, kind of that way. I'll sit for days just trying to find another word that begins with a letter. think it's an old school way of doing things. It restores the soul, the life of an Ebed. I'll say this before I read this passage. You can write it down. It's Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. But even in the face of trials and tests and challenges in my life today, I have never been more at peace with God and with people. And there's difficulties, there's challenges, there's... You know, it wouldn't be so bad being a pastor if we didn't have any people in the church. It'd be all right, you know. It restores the soul when you lose your rights. Every day your soul will be restored. This is my experience. But Ephesians 3 says this, verses 14 through 20. When I think of all this, when he thinks of all what? Well, I'm going to encourage you to read the first 14 verses. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. Whenever I read this passage, I think of Martin Luther King. As all God's people should. How wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. The life of an Ebed, the life of a servant, is a supernatural life. We do not in ourselves have the power to live it. We need divine power, and that is only available through his Spirit. And you will get lost. You will get lost in your love of service because of your love of God. May we imitate Christ and follow his example. May we rise early. May we pray often. May we minister to others. May we lose our rights. Service and serving and this life, it's not an activity. I want to encourage us with this. The life of an Ebed is not an activity, it's a lifestyle. It's got to be a lifestyle. I watched my wife for 20 or more than that. Our oldest child is, I don't know, they're old, I don't know. But for a long time, I watched my wife serve my family. Serve me. Serve 7 children. Serve her king. I don't know of one time in my whole life that she complained about that role. Never once. I married this woman. I took her 500 miles away from her family. She never complained to me. She never did. We started having children. One. Whoa, this woman likes being a mama. Let's have another one, Roar. Okay. Let's have another one. Okay. I think I should teach them at home. Okay. Well, honey, guess what? I think I'm going to move to Omaha, Nebraska. I'd like to have you come with me. Could you bring the 7 kids? Okay. I know we're going to leave Ida Grove. We're going to leave. I know we're going to leave a church. We're going to leave a town. We're going to leave all that's so easy and nice. And you know, but what do you think, honey? Okay. Okay, we're here. We woke up one morning. I remember waking up in this house. I don't know how I got there, but I got there. And I woke up, I looked at the ceiling, and I thought, where am I? And then the next thing, I thought, oh, I remember where I am. Then I said to myself, the first words that were rolling through my mind was, what have I done? Never once. She complained. Do you complain? Do you? It's all right. Just repent. Quit complaining. Embrace the life of an Ebed. Fall more in love with your King. If you want to be refreshed and restored, think of others. I love this verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. The eyes of the Lord. You write that verse down, men and women. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Life of an Ebed, it reveals our heart. It results in action. And it restores the soul. And that's all I got. Let's pray and we'll close with that. Lord, I thank You for all that You're teaching me. Thank You, Lord, that You're not giving up on me. Thank You, Lord, that You're strengthening me. I pray, God, that You would just really bless men and women in this room right here and all of them in the conference here, Lord, that You would just encourage us and guide us and lead us and direct us. Help me, Lord, to sacrificially give my life to You every day, Lord, to say, I am Yours. I am Your Ebed. Help me, Lord, not to complain. Help me, Lord, to be refreshed in You and restored in You. And help me, Lord, to think of others. Help me, Lord, to think of the foot washers of the world. And may I get right down there with them and take their place. That's what I pray. I can just see You, Lord, walking into a house and You not letting them wash Your feet. You probably got down on Your knees and washed theirs. Help me, Lord, to be a servant of You and of all mankind. Pray, God, I give up my rights. Give them over to You, and I just say, God, here I am, use me. Thank You, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for your attention.